Let's start with what brought you to this practice? How did you discover Reiki?
Okay. Now, Reiki is a healing energy, which we all have, okay?
Okay.
It's there with us, we just don't know how to tap into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this kind of healing hands even as a child.
Okay.
I mean, this may sound bizarre to the medical community, but I was a very sick child, and I used to find that if I put my hands on certain parts of my body, they would start to feel better. For example, I was always having lung infections, bronchitis, and asthma and everything. And whenever I put my hands on the chest, it would all go away. So I didn't know much of what was happening because I was too little to understand. But as I grew up, I forgot about it. I just let it go because it was a bit silly of me all the time to say, oh, I can do this and I can do that. I didn't have many friends, you know,
because
I was so weird. Because most of them were, you know, having normal, ordinary, experiences. And here I was talking about doing this and doing that. So in the end, one day I decided I didn't want any of this because I wanted friends so badly. I just said, I don't want any of this. And I actually gave it up, forgot about it, led a very normal life, normal in inverted commas. And I grew up, I got married and everything, and I'd forgotten all about it. Until about 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, about maybe 30, I had a very bad, lung problem. I couldn't walk well, and I had been to all the doctors and everything. They gave me, after a lot of investigations, they found nothing wrong. They said, you're probably allergic to something in the air. And so they gave me the inhaler. And they said, have it for about a month or so, and you should be okay. So I had that, I got better, and again, became worse. Had another good news, and after about 4 months, I just gave up because nothing. Then I met a who was Reiki. Never heard of this word in my life before, but she said she would like to, do Reiki on me for my problem. And sure enough, she did the Reiki, and I remembered all my healing hands as a child, and I thought, okay, I did have this gift, so I decided to learn how to use it. I joined up a few Reiki classes, and that's it. That's where my practice began. That's the story of how Reiki was me. I ignored it and it came back to me. Okay.
And
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. I was wondering how would you administer the practice? I know it's solely based on just laying on hands, but could you outline maybe how do you feel during the maybe the healing process as you're healing somebody, or how do you feel when it's being done onto you?
Yeah. Okay. So let me start a little bit. It's everything is energy. Okay. Everything is energy. Everything is vibrating. You know that.
Okay.
Because
Okay.
So the person is so relaxed, so calm, that it closes off. And when you sleep, you heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Yes. Yes. Are there different forms of Reiki for, let's say, different ailments, or is it one kind of universal energy?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so it's just one energy,
mm-hmm.
which is the energy of life. So anything that's living,
mm-hmm.
anything that has life, is vibrating at a certain frequency. Now, I'm not too sure what exactly the frequency is, but
mm-hmm.
I think it's something with 6 to 10 hertz, okay? But I'm not too sure. So if anything that's alive has to be vibrating at that, whether it's an ant, whether it's a plant, whether it's anything on this earth that is alive is vibrating at an optimum frequency of that much. Now, Reiki has a range of frequencies,
mm-hmm.
and when we administer Reiki to somebody, it automatically brings that energy to that frequency.
Okay.
Of health. Okay? Yeah. So if the energy in your body, you know, when you have high blood pressure, let's say you have high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
then it's just too much. It's just too much vibration in your body. And therefore, I'm only talking about energy. I wouldn't talk about what the heart does and everything, but it's just
mm-hmm.
too much vibration. Okay? So Reiki brings it down because it's got the health frequency in it, okay? A range of health frequencies, and therefore everything, the frequency that was going too fast, it's slowed down. Now if it is too slow, like in low blood pressure, then it's raised.
Okay.
So we are actually it's a bit like this. When somebody is depressed and upset and sad, he's got a very low energy, he's got a very low frequency, and here comes somebody all the upbeat and excited and happy,
mm-hmm.
what happens? Everybody starts to feel happy and excited. So everybody's vibrations are raised to that level, okay? And on the other hand, if somebody's too hyper and hysterical and everything, that's too high the frequency. So when somebody comes who's calm and quiet, we can bring that frequency down, yeah? Just by his calm and quiet attitude. So Reiki works like that. It's just balances everything out, okay?
And
yeah.
When you have a patient, do they maybe tell you what's going on, or do you feel as if their frequency is too high or too low?
Both things happen. A Reiki healer comes to know not so much about whether it's high or low,
mm-hmm.
but that it needs adjustment.
Okay.
So we know from the amount of energy that comes through us that the person's energy needs adjustment, and the longer it takes. So you know, the Reiki healer can actually feel when the Reiki has stopped in their hands.
Okay.
When the whole dose has been administered, Reiki stops flowing through your hands for that particular amount. So you know it's done.
Mm-hmm.
The treatment is done. So that's what you feel. Now the patient themselves, if they are sensitive enough, they can feel the changes, they can feel the energy going in. Sometimes if they are very sensitive, you might be putting your hands on their head, but they may feel a energy change in their knee or something different there. So it can be at the spot where you placed your hand, or it can be anywhere else in the body. So some patients feel, some really don't. They just feel the warmth and they feel good, and before you know it, they closed off, okay? And they often ask us questions, why am I feeling like this, or what's happening? And I said, there's nothing wrong, you're just being, everything's being tuned up in your body, and they're happy with that,
mm-hmm.
Because they can feel it, they can feel the better. And the best, of course, the best evidence is that when they get up on the couch, they feel different, they just know they're much
mm-hmm.
better, calmer, and everything, okay?
Okay, are there any... Are there any ailments that you, or illnesses that you wouldn't prescribe Reiki for? Not prescribe per se, but are there any ailments that you would say Reiki can't influence, or do you think it has abilities to be beneficial throughout any form of illness?
It's the latter. Reiki works for everything, whether it's insomnia, whether it is grief, whether it's a physical problem like a pain or ache or jaundice or whatever you say. Because remember, it's energy which resets the frequency in your body. So all illnesses basically boil down to a messing up of the frequency in your body. That's it.
Okay.
Okay? So whichever ailment, whatever it caused, whatever its source, and as you must have realized by now that most ailments have an emotional component and a mental component. And yes, that even cancer people just suddenly get cancer when they've just been through a traumatic, event in their life or something. And it's just the emotion that triggers off the physical ailment. So when we to the source of the problem, okay? It's not just that it's going to heal this cut in your body, but what actually is behind that ailment? What is the source? What thinking pattern is wrong? What is it that we've invited upon ourselves by our negative attitude or whatever? Yeah? So, Reiki works for everything. The answer I give to most people that Reiki will always have a beneficial effect. Always, always, always. Now, whether it's going to work 98% or it's going to work 2%, we have to wait and see. We just have to try it. Okay? Now, the reason why the range is so much is because people sometimes just have a negative attitude. They just believe they will never get well. So, whatever you do, whichever medical path they take, they've just made up their minds. And therefore, it's hard to break that mindset. But it always has a beneficial effect. If even if it has 2% or 10%, we can start with that. And in no time, the person who's feeling even 10% better, his mind opens to receiving all this, and he can get all the way to 98%. So it works for everything. I've not come across a single ailment, that hasn't responded to Reiki. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes it's very quick. But that's it. It always does well.
So I think we've talked a lot about this energy that's in all life forms, that's in everything, this frequency that they vibrate at. So I wanted to explore that idea about your views regarding the body. I think especially in how maybe what do you view the body as? Do you view it as, I don't know, maybe a set of components or a set of energies or
I didn't get the gist of the question.
Okay.
Can you read it? What do
Sure,
I
sure.
view the body as? What,
So
sorry?
I wanted to just, so we've been talking about this energy that's present in all, in everything, this vibrating
Yes.
frequency.
Yes.
So I wanted to kind of explore that
Yes.
idea in terms of how would you view the body? Do you view it as like an energy form? Or would you describe it as, components that are kind of working together? So I just wanted to get your views on how would you describe, the body.
It's more solid. But basically it boils down to
Would you say that you maybe perceive or experience certain energies more than other people? Would you say you're almost, you have like a natural sensitivity to these things? I would just say, like the average person, do you think that you are more sensitive to these energy forms than other
Yes.
people, or does it come with maybe practice, or
Yes.
or do you think it's a
both?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, both. I do feel I'm more sensitive than others in picking up the vibrations of people. And there are many like us. There are many in the world. It's not, I'm not alone in this. And yet, and the other thing as well, the more you practice Reiki, the more you're used to this beautiful healing energy, the more sensitive you get. You can pick out when a person is not well. You can almost tell what's wrong with a person. It's very natural. Many Reiki healers develop this kind of ability, and some are just born into it, so it's easy to you know, identify. That's it. Having said that, you just observe it. You just know it's there. It doesn't drag your energy down or anything. You just observe it and know that this is what the problem is. That's all. So there's no myth attached to this that, you know, because you observed it, now your energy is going to go down. There's nothing like that. Okay? Yeah.
Would you say...
I want to put that in because there's a lot of rubbish about it.
Sorry?
Yeah. No, I said I thought I would throw the last part in because there's a lot of myth about Reiki and that you become, you lose your energy and things like that. It doesn't happen. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's because this energy is endless, you know, like the universe is, it's endless energy. So why would it why would it kind of dissipate, I guess. Anyway, I was
absolutely.
I was wondering if, would you describe this healing energy to maybe have consciousness? You talk about it going where it wants to go. Would you describe it as a, almost as like, I don't know, like a life-giving energy, a life-forming energy? Do you, would you describe it as having consciousness?
Yes, I would. In fact, the word Reiki is a Japanese word, which means universal life force. So it's the life force that's present everywhere. You know, everything that's alive has life in it, isn't it? The difference between you and somebody who's dead, there's no life force in it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you believe in the soul and all, fine, the soul has gone. But there is no life in the body. So, for example, when a person is in coma, you know, there's a bit of life force, but there's nothing much happening in the body, isn't it? The soul is still there, but there's nothing much happening. It's only when the life force actually leaves the body completely, that's when you know it's all gone. So this Reiki is the universal life force.
Mm-hmm.
And it has consciousness because it comes from the source. Now, whatever you wish to describe the source as, God or Allah or whatever is, you know, your belief system, you know it's come from there, and that's why it's all knowing. You know, as they say, the proof is in the pudding, yeah? One has to try it and know how very conscious it is, how very wise it is, because there's no way you can give too much Reiki. Yeah, there's no way you can give less Reiki. When a doctor prescribes, a medicine, then all he looks at is, this is a child and this is an adult. So an adult dose and a child dose. But now, the adult dose, let's say for my, what illness can I say, for my backache, maybe the adult dose for me may be too much. It might just give me diarrhea or stomach problem or something. But for another person, that dose is just right. I mean, that's what he needs. So, but even Reiki is not like that. When we administer Reiki to somebody, there is never an excess or a less. It's always just right.
Mm-hmm.
So there can never be a reaction where there was too much Reiki given or too little Reiki given or something. We as healers can't control how much Reiki goes. We are just channels. We put our hands on the person and the Reiki flows as is needed. So you can never have any harm done by Reiki, ever. In fact, there are side effects and they are all good.
Okay.
They're all good. So it has its wisdom, it has consciousness. Yes, for sure it has consciousness, because something that's just doing its job without you interfering, without you knowing anything, you're not playing any role in it. You are just not doing anything. Neither the healer nor the patient. All the patient is doing is receiving the energy. And it is then creating the right environment inside for healing to take place. That's it.
I wanted to talk about your perspectives on healing. How would you describe someone who's healed or someone who's of good health? And how would you describe someone who's maybe, I wouldn't say bad health, but their health is not as good as it could be. So what are your perspectives on health as a whole?
Okay. Is happy when he has no physical symptoms and when he is able to have enough energy to do all that he needs to do. A person who has enough sleep and does not feel tired during the day, you do get tired after a certain time, but a person who is actually in vitality would be one who is happy, outgoing, satisfied, and also, the usual parameters when you look at the health, all the blood tests and everything. That But very importantly, it is somebody who is sleeping well and who's actually got a positive outlook in life. I would consider that person the most healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The one who would be classed as not healthy would be somebody who's unhappy.
Wondering what your experience is with like the traditional biomedicine would be. Do you think they have certain shortcomings? Do you think maybe they're not looking at the entire picture, and maybe they're looking maybe at the body as only as in its physical components, maybe as a machine? So I just wanted to know your experiences with, you know, like with Western medicine, and where do you believe that they could make improvements, or where do you believe that they're lacking in treatment?
Okay, I think Western medicine is great. The conventional medicine is great. It's very useful, but it does tend to look at only the part that's the problem, and doesn't delve any deeper into the cause of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So often the doctor will say, okay, you know what, you've got this, stomachache or something, here's a medicine for it. But the stomachache is there, there could be 100 reasons why it's there.
Right, right.
And just giving the medicine would probably mask the symptoms. And sometimes that works because it's just a relief and the body takes over and does the healing itself. That's possible, but very often it does not. And the conventional medicine has to accept that it's got its limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, it's a wonderful tool for diagnosis, and I think it should be respected as such. Also, in emergencies, I think you just need that conventional medicine for sure. You can't now tell the person, okay, go and do yoga for so long, and you know, you come for Reiki for this now, but
mm-hmm.
you're dying right now, and you couldn't be bothered about yoga. So there's a place for both, sets of approach. The best thing would be if they could collaborate
mm-hmm.
and know that while you write out this prescription, also have the person take another Reiki treatment so that the body is even more receptive to the medicine. And so the healing effect will be enhanced in both ways. And of course, Reiki would You may look very, very normal outside, but there are things going on in your body of which you're not aware. And it reaches that stage where you have to say, oh my God, now I've got cancer, I've got, or my, you know, my, I've got diabetes right now because it's been under stress. If Reiki is taken on a regular basis, it should heal, you know, the emotion. And therefore, yeah, the body is fine then. That's where I feel Reiki's place is, to actually, you know, reset the frequencies of the body, and it should be done regularly. So I would say Reiki should take first priority. When, unless now you've really reached the stage where you have to take another medicine, then you have to take it. But even so, Reiki can be given even when people are taking medicines. It's fine. It doesn't interfere mm-hmm. with anything. It only, it's like, you know, preparing the ground, making the ground fertile, and then you plant the seed, and the seed is bound to grow. So if body is already in good condition, whatever little medicine that it does need from conventional, you know, practices, it's fine. It'll do a good job. But when the body itself is in a poor condition, then even the medicines, they lay even stress on the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after all, every medicine is, you know, it's a toxin at the end. It can cause problems. Both have a place, and I think the best thing for the patient is that Reiki should be given the same importance and acceptance by the medical fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
It would be good. Okay. That's my wish anyway.
Well, hopefully out of this, we'll make some, maybe some moves forward. Hello? Can you hear me?
Sorry?
Can you hear
me? I can just about hear you. Tell me again,
okay.
What did you say?
Yes, so the last kind of thing I wanted to focus on was just the Reiki community, maybe where they're located. Are they all over the world? How do they stay in touch? Are they a close-knit group? Do you have like meetings every few years? Are there maybe a Reiki events? Could you just give me like a couple examples of some maybe ones that have left a mark on you or are maybe very memorable?
I'll start with my bestest story. Okay, may sound unbelievable, but we have a man, a local Kenyan man, who was certified blind. He walks about with a white cane. his macula had a problem. He had some infection or something, and then the macula and the eye got destroyed, or I'm not sure what happened, but he said he could not see, and he could not see since the age of about 10 years. Now, he's certified blind. He carries a letter on him, which the doctor said is blind. Now, he came to learn Reiki. He did different levels of Reiki, so he did the first introductory level. And after that, after practicing it on himself for like a month or two, he came to me and said he could see light, which he couldn't see before. In one eye, he couldn't see any light at all. Yeah, I can see your eyes going big. It's really a miracle. In one eye, he could see the light, that's it. No shapes, no nothing. Mm-hmm. And the other eye, he couldn't see anything. And after doing this Reiki practice on himself for 1 or 2 months, he actually could see the light in the other eye as well. Now, he did that. That's fine. But when he did the second level of Reiki, he came for that. And now, get a hold of this. He actually said he could see numbers. He could read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They had to be large, not small. Had to be large. He could see the numbers. You know, we have these Boda riders in Nairobi.
Yes, motorcycle riders.
So they have a number on their back, and he could identify that number. He can see shapes now. He can see circles on my carpet and everything. I have his video. I'd like to send it to you.
Videos
where he talks about the light and where he talks about the individual today. Yeah, I'll send that to you. Because he's told me, you know, record it and send it to whoever I wish. So I'll do that. There are other cases which, let's say, we have the disabled school. We go to disabled school every week and we give Reiki to the children. Now, these children are Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and severely disabled. Many of them in wheelchairs. Many of them uncommunicative. And over a period of about 2-3 months, the teachers there, they give us the report that these children are more cooperative now. Before, they would be lashing out and just, you know, pushing people away and didn't want to engage with anybody. Now they are more cooperative, they're crying less, they fall sick less. You know, these children who are disabled, they fall sick quite often. Let me change the weather and they're down with this, that and the other. So they are calmer, quieter. They do communicate now more, and they are able to handle a lot of things. There is another place we've been going to for a while, and that was another disabled orphanage. But there we taught the carers, the caregivers, we taught them Reiki. So they give them Reiki every week. They do it, and the results are fantastic. They're not spending that much more money on medicines. Some have reported better movement in the limbs. Some have said that they are able to, you know. And those who were, you know, disabled and weren't being accepted in normal schools, they have started going to normal schools now.
Okay.
Because they are able to now walk a little bit better. They can focus a little bit better. So these are the wonderful stories we have to tell. There are many others, but suffice it to say that wherever we've gone, wherever we've given, we've always been asked to come back because they are so happy with it. Okay,
perfect. Wow.
Yeah. Is that all right? Yeah.
Okay. I think we've touched on everything I wanted to touch on for today.
I'm just gonna
stop the recording because I just wanted to ask a few questions off the record, if that's okay.
Okay.